Some people object to such a view of music, saying that if you reduce music to mathematics, where does the emotion come into it? I would say that it's never been out of it. The things by which our emotions can be moved, the shape of a flower or a Grecian urn, the way a baby grows, the way the wind brushes across your face, the way clouds move, their shapes, the way light dances on the water or daffodils flutter in the breeze, the way in which the person you love moves their head, the way their hair follows that movement, the curve described by the dying fall of the last chord of a piece of music. All these can be described by the complex flow of numbers. That's not a reduction of it. That's the beauty of it. Ask Newton. Ask Einstein. Ask the poet, Keats, who said that what the imagination seizes as beauty must be truth. He might also have said that what the hand seizes as a ball must be truth, but he didn't, because he was a poet and preferred loafing about under trees with a bottle of laudanum and a notebook to playing cricket, but it would have been equally true. This jogged a thought at the back of Michael's memory, but he couldn't immediately place it. Because that is at the heart of the relationship between, on the one hand, our instinctive understanding of shape, form, movement, light, and on the other hand, our emotional responses to them. And that is why I believe that there must be a form of music inherent in nature, in natural objects, in the patterns of natural processes. A music that would be as deeply satisfying as any naturally occurring beauty. And our own deepest emotions are, after all, a form of naturally occurring beauty. Michael stopped reading and let his gaze gradually drift from the page. He wondered if he knew what such a music would be and tried to grope in the dark recesses of his mind for it. Each part of his mind that he visited seemed as if that music had been playing there only seconds before, and all that was left was the last dying echo of something he was unable to catch at and hear. He laid the magazine limply aside. Then he remembered what it was that the mention of Keats had jogged in his memory. The slimy things with legs from his dream. A cold calm came over him as he felt himself coming very close to something. Coleridge, that man. Yea, slimy things did crawl with legs upon the slimy sea. The rhyme of the ancient mariner. Dazed, Michael walked over to the bookshelf and pulled down his Coleridge anthology. He took it back to his seat, and with a certain apprehension, he riffled through the pages until he found the opening lines. It is an ancient mariner, and he stoppeth one of three. The words were very familiar to him, and yet as he read on through them, they awoke in him strange sensations and fearful memories that he knew were not his. There reared up inside him a sense of loss and desolation of terrifying intensity, which, while he knew it was not his own, resonated so perfectly now with his own aggrievements that he could not but surrender to it absolutely. And a thousand slimy things lived on, and so did I.